This is Dr. Egon Spengler of the TV show Real Ghostbusters, and you're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew. Twig crew. Don't we have him in the containment system, Peter?
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to Birdman's Toy Chest. That's right, we are back here on this show I kind of decide to do whenever the hell I feel like it. But this weekend's edition is a little bit special because it's actually a bit of a coincidence that this weekend, the weekend of June the 8th, or 7th, or 6th, whatever, is the Ghostbusters 30th anniversary. And well, my wife had bought me some really cool Ghostbusters Funko vinyl pop figures for our wedding anniversary about a month early. So I kind of decided, you know what? Why don't I talk about the Kenner line of Ghostbuster figures? And if you've been watching my Twitter, which is at Birdman Dodd, you guys know I've taken a bit of an interest in the line over the last couple of weeks. And what I've been doing is a guy who lives local to me, a guy named Daniel, had come across a Ghostbusters firehouse, and I traded for that a couple of Star Wars figures, and I got an incomplete shell of the Ghostbusters firehouse. So I'm thinking, man, I've never had one of these, and I've always wanted one. My neighbors, Mark and Arthur, had one when they were kids. God damn, did I want this thing. They had the Ecto-1, they had the Ecto-Bomber, they had the Ghost Sweeper, they had, like, all the toys. I had the Ecto-1 and the four Ghostbusters, and Stay Puffed, and that was about it. So, now that I'm older, and like I said, I'm kind of digging out of the deep shit that I was in from last year, I've been slowly plugging away at buying back some of my old toys. And thanks to my buddy Sean, who runs a website called Shy Guy Games. You can find them on Facebook. He visits a lot of yard sales and does a lot of stuff like that. So he's been finding me Ghostbuster stuff too. And I've been restoring an Ecto-1. I'm actually working on restoring an Ecto-1A. I bought an original Ecto-1 a couple weeks ago because I traded away some Super Nintendo stuff for it. But anyway, so what we're going to talk about today on the show here is we're going to talk about the Kenner line of Ghostbuster toys and sort of my memories with them, my advice if you want to collect this line, and maybe just some things you should maybe be aware of if you're going to take on this new venture of collecting toys, because it can get quite expensive, but there are ways to save money if you're smart, depending on how you want to do it. So, my history with the Ghostbusters, I know with This Week in Geek, it's been sordid. Me and Steve Saylor, my original co-host for Twig, have done commentaries on Ghostbusters. He did one back in his college days, which was not very well received by our fan base. I think that's one of the few times we've actually gotten hate mail on the show, and I always had a really big laugh with that. Myself, I started getting back into Ghostbusters really huge probably when I was in college, especially when they released the Ghostbusters 30th anniversary Blu-ray, or 25th anniversary Blu-ray, and my first big exclusive as a game journalist, I got invited down to Terminal Reality in Dallas, Texas, and I got a chance to visit the Ghostbusters development studio when the Ghostbusters game was coming out. I actually broke a story out on Game Trailers years ago about it, and I got to display a scene with the rookie talking with, I think it was Venkman and Egon, or something like that. Either way, they were in the elevator at the Sedgwick Hotel. So, it was kind of cool, and it's always been surprisingly been a big movie in my life. I never saw the first one in theaters. I saw the second one, though. One of the first soundtrack I ever owned was the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack on cassette tape, and I'm pretty sure I've still got it. to this very day. I also remember, for those of you who were in elementary school in the late 80s, early 90s, if you guys remember the Scholastic book catalogs, they used to have books you could order out of this, like, two or three page little flyer thing. I ordered the Ghostbusters official storybook, and they used to put out this magazine called Hot Dog, and I don't remember too much more about it than that, but I remember there was a Ghostbusters 2, cover, and I remember getting that. So, my parents had got me the toys when I was a kid. Now, the toy series came out in January of 1987. Surprisingly, there was no merchandise with the movie that came out. It was the animated series that would later inspire this, and the toy sales and just how well the animated series had done would probably get Ghostbusters 2 made back in 1989. And you'd notice a fair comparison between certain character designs from the movie to the show. Examples being Winston, Janine, and the Mood Slime look like the ectoplasm from the toys. And Winston didn't have his mustache in number 2. Things you didn't know. Ha ha. I'd actually like to send a huge shout out. The guy that I actually found out a lot of this stuff from, within the last little bit, actually, the guy's name on YouTube is his channel's called Retro Blasting. Check his stuff out. Really, really well done. But anyway, moving on. So my parents had bought me the Ecto-1, and I got Venkman, and I got, actually, I'm pretty sure I got all four Ghostbusters for this, and I got the Stay Puffed, Marshmallow Man. I think I remember getting another one of the ghosts. I remember getting the Bug Eye Ghost, and I think I had the Ghost Zooka, which was a ghost that you could, like, basically fire other ghosts out of, and I had Slimer. And these toys were really, really, really cool. Really simple, though, because the Kenner figures, the basic four of them, you had Venkman in the brown jumpsuit, Ray in kind of like a tan, Egon kind of this bluish wing, bluish one, and Winston in a more lighter blue one. And I had the Trapjaw ghosts as well. Trying to see what else I remember about those ones. They also had these other ghosts that could shoot, too. They had these things called mini goopers, and you could put, like, ectoplasm inside them. There was one that you could, like, pull back, and it could, like, race across the floor. There was, like, a haunted toilet. This other one where it was, like, a brain, but you could fill this head, and you could smash it, and all these brains would pop out. And there were these monsters. There was, like, Dracula, Frankenstein, the Mummy, a zombie dude, and a wolfman, and Quasimodo. I had the Frankenstein, and I had the Mummy, and thanks to Billy and Jay from the Game Chasers, I now have a complete Mummy. But anyway, so there were these toys, and these are the ones that I had. There was also the Ghostbusters Firehouse, which is something, like I said, I never had until recently, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. They also had the Ghostbusters Roleplay toys. I had the Proton Pack, and I remember getting this. I got this just before Ghostbusters 2 came out, and this thing came with the Proton Pack, the Neutrino Wand, a Styrofoam Yellow Beam, a PKE meter, which could attach to your belt, and this, like, armband that you could stick on your thing. You'd also got this official Ghostbusters membership cards sort of thing. There was also this other thing that you could get. It was, like, this thing called a Ghost Zapper. And what it would do, it would project images on the wall. And it would make this sound, and there was this little yellow dial you could touch on the side that would, I think it would change the intensity of sounds or something like that. I don't remember it 100%. But, yeah, and those are the ones that I had. And I remember playing with this thing for years as a kid. And I really wish that I still had it. It may, in fact, still be at my parents' house. I don't know. I guarantee it is nowhere near good shape, though. And that's the thing, though. Proton packs, they're getting harder and harder to come by, I find. Or at least complete samples. Because they're almost always missing the styrofoam beam. I find those get wore out really, really, really easy because they crack over the years. They, like, dry out or whatever. It's also hard to find PKE meters that have the tops of them intact because there's, like, there's a little thing behind the meter and you could spin it around. It's kind of meant to represent the arms on the movie when they move up and down, but this one just spins around in a circle. It also shows a ghost on it, and there's this little knob you can turn, and it makes little click, 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 click sounds. Also on the gun, on the wand, there's a trigger you can pull, and it makes, some kind of a sound. I remember being really irritating. Those are some of the roleplay ones. I remember, the ghost zapper being kind of cool, and I think it took, like, 3 C batteries, so this thing was a beast, but I remember it being really bright for the time, and you could stand about a good 3 or 4 feet back, and it would still display the image on the wall, though the further back you got, the weaker it would become. But still, it was kind of nice that they would do this stuff like that. There was also, the ghost trap, which I always wanted, never got. There's also the ghost nabber, which if you remember the scene in Ghostbusters 1 where Bill Murray, Venkman's walked around Dana's apartment with that thing and he's like sniffing the air, so to speak, that's what the ghost nabber is. There were also other roleplay things where they had like, it was like a neutrino wand, but it was like one of those claw things that you get at the like dollar store. There was also a ghost trap where you could, it was kind of like a voice changer called the Ghost Spooker. It's kind of stupid. And they actually did make a slime blower, kind of, but it was called the Ecto Charger Pack. It didn't look nearly as cool as the Proton Pack. And there was also the Ecto Goggles as well, with a little gun that would shoot like a bullet. Odds are people would lose this thing. There's also, like, a water gun, too. But to go back to the actual toys, so in the basic line, there were 4 of them, and they each come with a proton pack and a different color ghost. Pretty cool stuff. The only problem is the proton packs were really, really, really fragile. Excuse me. And they wouldn't fit in their hands, per se. They'd slide over their arms. So it would look like they were holding them, but they actually weren't. And they could actually attach onto the back of the proton pack so you could store them. But there was also this little piece that stuck out of the back of the wand where it looked like you were actually using the proton beam. So it like, would spin around. It would be for basically play. And those would break off more often than not, just because the plastic at the time was really, really, really brittle. And any time you can actually find these things on eBay, take a very close look at the pack. There's actually 2 different variants I found out about this. If you have the one where it attaches to the bottom of the proton pack by the little yellow cord, that's the first release. If it attaches in the middle of the pack, that's the second variation of that. So there's something you probably didn't know 5 minutes ago. And then there were other ones. And this is something that I found most common. I find the most common Ghostbusters figures that you see on eBay or at garage sales are the ones called the Fright Features. And these things came out in 1988. And the most common one that I see, because I think this was the most popular character on the show anyway, at least in my opinion, was Egon. And Egon has this white suit, and he had his arms stretched out, and he has this blue tie. When you push in his right arm, his expression changes, his mouth opens, his neck extends, and his tie flies up. Every sample I have seen of this toy has the blue tie broken off. I picked mine up from a friend of mine here close to Orangeville for like $5. The tie was intact. I don't have the ghost or the gun, but the tie is intact. So that, to me, is worth it. Now, Winston would have a feature where his head would spin, Janine's hair would fly up, Peter's eyes would fly out, Ray's ears would pop out, and his eyes would go really wide. He's the other fright feature that I have. There's another one, this would come out about a year later, and they would be called super fright features. Once again, the most common sample that I see is Egon, and Egon is in this white, sort of like this bio-containment suit thing, and there's a little thing on his back that you push up, and if the toy's complete, he has his helmet. It splits open, and these two green hand things grip the side of his head, and his hair rises up. He's got his tongue sticking out, too, for whatever reason. The pieces that are most often missing with this one are the two pieces that attach the helmet, which is really unfortunate. I'm actually thinking about going down on eBay and trying to track down a complete sample of this one. If anything, he's my favorite character. I'd like to have it complete. I also remember having the Peter version of this one when I was a kid, and I remember the top of his helmet would come off, and his eyes would extend, and his neck would extend, and he'd have like this weirdly weird purple ghost thing. And then Ray's, I'm pretty sure that I had Ray too, and his head would spin inside of his thing. Although the weirdest one of the line was Winston, who had like this green spacesuit with like this fishbowl head. His head would drop into his chest, and his tongue would stick out his chest. It looked really weird, for lack of a better phrase. It was just really, really kind of screwed up. And those are the ones that I had. Now, there were other ghosts as well, and I'm kind of looking up some of this information just so I can get some more, what's the word I'm looking for? More information, if you will. There were these things called haunted humans. And I remember my next door neighbor, Ian, had these. By the way, that kid was a dick. His brother's some famous country singer now, something Bernard. But that kid was an asshole. Douche. Anyway, there was the haunted mailman. There was Granny Gross, Hard Hat Whore, Terror Trash, Ex-Cop Ghost, and Tombstone Tackle. I remember having the cop and the trash can guy, but they were cool. They were just these humans that would transform, and they'd be really, really, really simple. The weirdest one, but this one I really, really, really enjoyed, was the trash can ghost. He'd dump his garbage can over his head, and he'd turn to this weird flying praying mantis dude. The cop actually reminds me a lot of the T-1000, and I don't know why. His face would fall away, and he'd turn to this screaming skeleton dude. Whatever. And like I mentioned before, there were the previous trap ghosts, the mini traps. You'd open up their mouths, and you'd touch a spring, and these things would snap shut. Hard enough to actually hurt your fingers. I remember doing that more often than myself than not. There was also ectoplasm, too. There was actually a Slimer that you could, he would sit down. Yeah, it was called the Green Ghost, and it was called the Gooper Ghost. And it would use a plunger, and it would spit ectoplasm out of the front. And the ectoplasm, think of, there was the He-Man Slime, there was the Ninja Turtles Retro Mutagen, and there was the ectoplasm. Ectoplasm was like this pink color, and it got everywhere. I remember screwing up my parents' carpet with this thing more than enough, because my parents had like that 70s porno shag carpet stuff. In fact, they still have it today in the basement. Although that stuff was cool. Although I found out while watching a video that retro dude did one. Evidently, that stuff is still usable today. 27 years later, 28 years later, or whatever, when these toys came out, the ectoplasm is still there. It actually, from what I understand, it actually came in different colors. There's like a blue one, a yellow one, but I only ever remember seeing the pink and the purple ones off my hand. Although, I wonder if there's a way to make it now, because I've seen people do tutorials to make retro mutagen ooze, and you can do it from, like, going to Home Depot and spending, like, $5. And you can make little ooze canisters. It's really cool. I actually have a can of ooze on my Anchovy Alley playset. I'm probably never going to open it. Actually, no, I think I have. I think I smelled it. Anyway, moving on. Another toy that I had for the Ghostbusters line were vehicles. The Ecto-1 is the standard Ghostbusters car. The thing that sucks about this thing is you can only put two Ghostbusters in it. Three if you put one in the gunner chair. The gunner chair is one of the most expensive pieces to find if you want to restore an Ecto-1. I paid $20 for mine. The Ecto-1 Ghost, he's getting harder to find, but he's usually pretty cheap, like $5-$10 at max. Finding doors is usually pretty easy. Finding bodies is usually really, really, really simple. Like I said, my friend Sean picked up one. I might try and restore that into an Ecto-1A, because you can buy reproduction sticker sheets. All I need to do is clean up the plastic, find a pair of doors, because I still have the back piece and the claw functional. So I figured it'd be a nice thing to put inside my Ghostbusters firehouse. There's also the Ecto-2, which is kind of like a flying motorcycle sort of thing. And it was actually on the show, which was actually pretty kind of kick-ass. It had a handle which functioned as its rudder. And you could squeeze the handle and the propellers would spin and it would deploy the doors, and there was like a bomb underneath it, and you could fit like one figure in it, and it was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that one. There was another one that came out in like 88. It was like a VW Beetle. It's called the Highway Haunter. This is another one I find that ends up a lot at yard sales, and it turns into this giant mantis thing. I actually found a reproduction sticker sheet for this one, so I actually may restore mine using this. My friend Devin found this for me. I think I paid maybe $20 for it. There were also other Ecto vehicles. There was the Ecto 500, which was like a hot rod. The Ecto 3, like a go-kart. The Ecto 1A was simply a re-release of the Ecto 1 with new stickers, which I felt was a huge letdown in a lot of way. In a lot of ways, because all it did is put a shit ton of new stickers, and you got pink slime stickers. Whoopee-doo. But still, it does look different. If you apply the stickers right, I think it can look really, really, really nice. Although, I did find this out. If you got the Brazilian release, Kenner licensed the line to a Brazilian company, and there's their version has working lights and sounds compared to ours. So maybe if I find I have money I don't know what to do with someday, maybe I'll track one down. I'm not counting on it, but it would be cool. There was this really weird vehicle called the Ghost Sweeper, and I remember my neighbors Mark and Arthur having this one, and it was like a ghost Zamboni. Why not? And then the other toy that they had I thought was really cool, and I've never seen this at a yard sale or at a Goodwill, was called the Ecto Bomber. This was a really late vehicle, like 1990. And it was basically a biplane that could catch ghosts. It had like two bombs on it, could fit one figure pretty easy on it. And it could capture ghosts with like this capture claw thing too. There were also haunted vehicles. The one they had was like this. There's this really dumb movie called Fly Away Home where some girl builds, like, this flying go-kart thing and flies with geese. This is the closest thing I can think of to what this thing looks like. And it turns into this fat guy, and it eats people. It's pretty dumb. And then they have this other thing called the Wicked Wheelie, which is a fat guy on a scooter. It's kind of weird. And those are the vehicles that I can remember. Off the top of my head. I always thought the vehicles in this line were kind of cool looking, but they could have pushed the envelope a little bit better. I mean, my favorite is honestly probably Ecto 2. Just because I think it looks nice. It's got lots of play features, whereas the Ecto 1 only has the claw feature, which is activated by moving the muffler to one side, and it activates this clicky thing, and it can capture ghosts, big deal. Now, you might be asking, is this line worth collecting? Well, let's talk about the big piece that tends to get a lot of people's attention. The Ghostbusters Firehouse. Very iconic. New York City landmark. Still today, they have the Ghostbusters 2 sign there. This thing is honestly relatively really simple because it has two floors, it's got the fire pole, two doors, the sign, some railings, and the ecto containment unit. Now, you can find samples for about $150 plus with the box. Some of them in good shape, some of them not so bad. You can usually find a loose one for about anywhere from about, like, I'd say from $80 to $120, depending. Shipping is the thing that's going to kill you. Here's the thing. This set is annoying to complete. The one I'm trying to rebuild right now, it's missing the second floor, or sorry, the first floor, but I found one. A guy in a toy group is selling me that, the sign, and some of the railings, and the containment unit, and I think I got this at a retardedly low price. However, though, the Ghostbusters sign itself, this little plastic sign, can go for like $30 on its own. And people know this. So if you're trying to restore a Ghostbusters Firehouse, know what you're getting into. It can get very expensive very quickly. The doors themselves can go for $25 plus. I picked up a door for $10. I paid $15 in shipping. Why do you Americans charge so much to ship to Canada? I will never know. But it's kind of a pain in the ass so far. And it's funny. If you look at the box art for the Ghostbusters Firehouse, it shows the Ecto-1 going into the firehouse. You might be thinking, okay, well, what's the big deal? You have to take off the chair to fit it in the firehouse. Weird. Never thought about that. The vehicles that fit in this thing easily are the Highway Haunter and the Ecto-1, and obviously the Ecto-1A. You could probably, Ecto-2 would fit in there along with any of the other ones, but it just doesn't quite look right. I've got my Highway Haunter in there right now with my two Fright Features figures sitting in there. Until I can restore my Ecto-1A, that's the way it's going to be. Now, the fire pole, it does work, but it works a lot on counterbalance. You actually have to have the figures, you have to have two figures on there for it to work properly, and they'll spin down. Otherwise, through force, it'll just fly off. The other action feature is at the top of the firehouse, there's a grate which you can use ectoplasm through. That's neat. I do appreciate that. One of the other pieces that's most often missing are the railings. And I got lucky and found a guy, once again, on Facebook to sell me two out of the three that I need. I'm missing one small railing. Really sucks. But like I said, this is a restoration project out of love. There are people that do sell reproduction label sticker sheets. So I might strip down the plastic to take off the other sticker sheets and see what I can do with it. Now, here's the $1,000, $1 million question. Is it worth collecting this line? Well, that depends what you want to get out of it. And that could be said for anything. Buying loose complete can be a bit of a crapshoot because you don't know what the condition of the weapons are going to be in. And that's kind of sucks. Getting a complete Ecto-1 is not hard. It can get pricey, though, because of that stupid chair. If you're willing to forego the chair and have a display piece, not too bad. I find these things are easy to find at yard sales or Goodwills, depending. Is the firehouse worth collecting? I find only if you're a really big fan. And if you don't care about not having the containment unit, because that itself can go. There are pieces to that thing that will go for $40. I think the big containment units itself, I've seen it go for $40, and the smaller piece I've seen go for about $25. So it's basically just a place to store the little ghosts that come with your action figures anyway. That's another thing, too, to look into ghosts. What do you want to display with this thing? The ghosts I find that are worth it are the bug-out ghost, any of the haunted ordinary people, or the monsters. I find a lot of the ghosts are actually really, really, really common. So if you don't care about condition, buying loose lots on eBay for ghosts is not that bad, because almost none of the ghosts, at least none I can think of off the top of my head, come with any real accessories. It's only the Ghostbusters themselves. Which kind of brings me into the other variants of the line. Like, there's the Super Fright Features, Slimed Heroes, blah, 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 blah. Accessories are a bitch. They're not terribly expensive on card, depending on what you want. I'm kind of looking for some of the ones, like the Slimed Heroes, like, because there's a Lewis Tully that I'd like to get. Janine also got a couple of releases. I know she got one in the Power Pack Heroes, where she has, like, this, like, little go-kart-like thingy. And I think she got another figure. Yeah, she got a Screamin' figure, too, where basically you put this air piece ghost in their back, you'd squeeze it, and they'd do, like, a facial expression or something. So, ultimately, it's not hard to collect the Core 4 and the Ecto. Big things to look out for is weapon condition, how complete they are, and what's missing on your vehicles. But it is pretty easy to find them. The Firehouse, it's a fine display piece. As long as you have the doors and the sign, it looks great. Everything else is just kind of gravy with it, I find. So there you go. That's my collecting stories, advice, ramblings on the Ghostbusters 30th anniversary. Hope you guys enjoy this. It is currently 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go play the Ghostbusters video game on the PlayStation 3 because I'm awesome. Hope you guys are watching this series tonight or this weekend. Either way, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. I'll catch you guys again probably next week or the week after. Maybe we'll talk some He-Man. Who knows? Maybe some G.I. Joe. Anyway, guys, until next time, I'll catch you later.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? That 10 seconds.
You gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Whoa, my God, whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.